Welcome in. Today we're building one knob performance macros in Ableton Live for drum and bass, but with a big focus on clean routing. Because the whole point is, you want huge transitions and that hands-on energy without ending up with 50 automation lanes and a project that randomly breaks when you add one more effect. By the end, you'll have a drum macro that can do a full-on build into the drop, and a bass macro that adds motion and aggression without wrecking your sub. And everything will be routed in a way that stays predictable. Alright, step 1. Clean routing first. This is the part people skip, and then they wonder why their macro is affecting the wrong tracks, or why the drop suddenly gets quieter. Go to your drum tracks, select your break, your kick and snare layers, hats, percussion, whatever counts as drums in your project. Group them. Rename that group drum bus. Now select your bass layers, sub, res, mid bass, growl. Group those. Rename it bass bus. Optional but useful. Group your synths and pads into a music bus. Not required for today, but it keeps your session organized. Next, set up your return tracks. Think of returns as your dedicated space and throws area. This is part of clean routing. Movement on the buses, space on the returns. On return A, rename it verb throw. Drop in Ableton's reverb. For a solid starting point, set the decay somewhere around 2.5 to 4.5 seconds. Pre-delay around 15 to 30 milliseconds, so it doesn't immediately smear the transient. High cut somewhere between 5 and 8 kHz so it's not fizzy. And low cut around 150 to 300 Hz so you're not throwing low end into reverb. That's a huge one for DNB cleanliness. On return B, rename it DLY throw. Add echo. Set it to a quarter note or eighth note timing. Feedback around 20 to 35%, and filter it, high cut around 6 to 9k, low cut around 200 to 400 Hz. Again, we're keeping throws exciting, not muddy. If you want an extra return later, you can make return seat a parallel distortion return, but we can keep it simple for now. Quick gain staging check before we build anything. On your drum bus and bass bus, aim so peaks are roughly around minus 6 dB. Not a strict rule, but it gives you headroom, and it keeps your macro from turning into an accidental loudness knob. The big beginner mistake with macros is mapping things that add gain, and then the cool build is really just I made it 8 dB louder. Now let's build the first one knob macro rack on the drum bus. On the drum bus, add an Audino effect rack. Open the macro controls, and also show the chain list. The chain list is where the clean routing magic happens, because we're going parallel. A dry chain that stays punchy, and a hype chain that gets wild in a controlled way. Create two chains. Name chain 1 DRY drums. Name chain 2 hype FX. On the DRY drums chain, add EQ 8 first. Don't overthink it yet. We're mainly going to macro high pass movement later. Then add drum bus. This is perfect for DNB because it can add smack and attitude without you needing extreme compression. Keep drive low to start. Crunch at 0. Transients at 0. We'll map those. Optional. Add glue compressor after drum bus if you want a touch of glue. Something like 3 millisecond attack. Release on auto. Ratio 2 to 1. And you're aiming for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on steady parts. If you don't know what that means yet, it's fine, leave glue out for now. The macro still works without it. Now I'm a hype FX chain. Add auto filter. For a DNB build, bandpass is super effective and high pass can also be the great lift feel. Set resonance somewhere around 20 to 35% as a starting point. After that, add saturator. Use analog clip. Turn soft clip on. Start with drive like 2 to 6 dB. This is going to become the controlled grit layer. Then add utility. Set width at 100% for now. Now here's the important clean blend step. In the rack's chain list, pull the HypeFX chain volume all the way down to minus infinity to start. Fully off. Keep DRY drums at 0 dB. That way, your drums are stable by default, and the macro adds hype on top instead of permanently changing your core sound. Now we map everything to one macro. Rename macro 1 to drum hype. This is your performance knob. Enter map mode. Now we're going to click parameters, then click the drum hype macro to assign them. First mapping, on the DRY drums chain, set EQ 8 to a high pass filter, 24 dB per octave, and map the filter frequency to drum hype. Set the macro range so it only goes from about 20 Hz up to around 140 Hz. That range is a sweet spot. It tightens and cleans the build, but you're not completely deleting the weight of the drums. Next, map drum bus controls on the DRY drums chain. Map drive from about 0 up to 15%. Map transients from 0 up to around 20%. Map crunch from 0 up to 10%. Notice what we're doing. We're not mapping them to extremes. We're making great settings reachable, and ruin my mix settings. Basically impossible. Now go to the Hype FX chain. Map auto filter frequency to drum hype. Set a range like 200 Hz up to 6 kHz. That gives that classic rising, narrow, hyped up build movement. Now map the Hype FX chain volume itself. This is the blend control. Set it from minus infinity up to around minus 10 dB. Not to zero. Minus 10 is loud enough to feel exciting, but it won't suddenly overpower your dry drums. Map utility width on the Hype FX chain from 100% up to around 140%. Again, subtle and important, we're whitening only the hype layer, not the entire drum bus. That keeps kick and snare punch more stable. Now for the cleanest trick, map a reverb throw from the same macro, but do it through the send, not by throwing random reverbs onto your drum bus. On the drum bus track, find send going to verb throw. Map that send amount to drum hype. Set a conservative range, minus infinity up to around minus 12 dB. In percent terms, it's usually something like 0 up to around 25%, depending on your view. This is one of those sounds pro when it's subtle moves. The reverb becomes part of the build energy, but it doesn't drown the groove. Exit map mode. Now test it. Start playback on a loop. Turn drum hype slowly from 0 to 100. What you should hear is low end tightening, a bit more smack and grit, the filtered hype layer coming in, a little widening on that layer, and a tasteful reverb wash that lifts you into the drop. Now, extra coach note, a good one knob macro should feel good across the whole travel, not just at the top. I like to think of it in three zones. From 0 to 30%, it's basically safe, like a sweetener. You could leave it there for 8 bars and it still sounds like music. 30 to 70 is your obvious lift. 70 to 100 is special effect territory, the part you only hit briefly for impact. You create that feeling by using different max ranges. For example, you can let saturation reach most of its maximum by around 60 or 70% on the macro, while the reverb send doesn't really start climbing until later. In other words, not every parameter needs to move evenly across the entire knob. And remember, the macro min and max values are your safety rails. If anything whistles, spikes, or turns harsh, don't fight it with more plugins. Just lower the max. Cool. Now let's build the bass macro, and we're going to do it in a way that protects the sub, because DNB lives and dies on low-end stability. On the bass bus, add another audio effect rack. Create two chains. Name one sub-safe. Name the other mid-movement. On sub-safe, add EQ8 and low-pass it somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz, so it's only the sub and low bass. Then add utility and set width to 0%. Mono. Always. This is your foundation. Optional. Add a compressor sidechain from the kick if your track uses that classic pump. On mid-movement, add EQ8 and high-pass it around 120 to 200 Hz so there's no sub-information in this chain. Then add auto-filter, set to low pass or band pass depending on your vibe. Add saturator or roar if you have sweet and want heavier distortion options. Add a chorus ensemble very subtly or a phaser flanger. Then utility at the end, starting at 100% width. Now rename macro 1 on this rack to bass motion. Enter map mode and map the key movement controls. But again, safe ranges. Map auto filter frequency on MID movement from about 250 Hz up to about 2.5 kHz. Map resonance from about 10% up to 30%. Don't go crazy, resonance gets whistle Wi-Fi. Map saturator drive from about 2 dB up to 8 dB. If 8 is too much for your sound, cap it at 5. The point is controlled aggression. Map utility width on MID movement from 100 up to around 160%. And notice we're never widening the sub-chain. That's the clean routing win right there. Optional. Map the bass bus send B to the delay throw. Keep it subtle. Something like minus infinity up to minus 18 dB. Just a little extra tail as the motion increases. Exit map mode. Test it. When you turn bass motion up, you should feel the bass get more animated and aggressive in the mids, but the sub stays consistent, centered, and solid. Now let's talk performance and recording automation in arrangement view. Go to arrangement and enable automation arm. The automation button near the top. Hit record and perform the macros like you're playing an instrument. A classic DNB structure. During the steady groove, keep drum hype low, like 10 to 20. Then in the last 4 to 8 bars before the drop, gradually push it up towards 60. In the final bar or two, you can push up into the 80 to 95 zone. Then do a quick dip right before the drop. That dip is money because it creates contrast. Then when the drop hits, snap the macro back down to 10 or 20, so your transients are clean and your groove feels like it resets. For bass motion, I usually do less. Maybe bring it up in the last 2 to 4 bars, or only on fills, so the drop bass feels intentional and not constantly overcooked. Now, a few common mistakes to avoid. First, mapping volume boosts with no limit. If your macro makes things louder and louder all the way up, it'll feel exciting but it won't translate, and it'll mess your mix decisions. Keep chain volumes capped. Keep send amounts conservative. Second, destroying the sub with wideness. Don't do it. Split the sub and the mids, mono the sub, and only widen the mid movement chain. Third, oververb on drum builds. That's why we low cut the reverb return, and why we cap the send range. Big space is cool. Losing your snare is not. Fourth, macro fights your mix. If the knob causes random tonal shifts that feel unpredictable, tighten the endpoints. Use EQA to control the tonal path. A macro should feel like it has a story, not like it's flipping random switches. Now a couple of pro-style upgrades you can try once the basic version works. 1. Macro as a crossfader inside the rack. Instead of only turning the hype chain up, also turn the dry chain down slightly. Like dry chain volume from 0 down to -2 or -3 dB as the macro rises, while hype chain comes up to -10. It's subtle, but it can feel smoother and more intentional than just adding layers. 2. A two-stage build to impact behavior, still with one knob. Here's a cool trick. Near the top of the macro, you actually clamp a little. For example, add an EQ on the hype chain and map a small low mid cut around 250 to 500 Hz, so it activates mostly late in the macro. And you can even map the hype chain volume to dip a tiny bit right at the very top. That prevents the max knob equals loudest syndrome and makes the drop hit harder. This audio version is shortened for playback.